For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, ZIP 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Saturday afternoon service of July the 9th, 1988, take number 21 of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Blanche Reynolds is the teacher for the afternoon.
Blanche Reynolds, it's all yours.
Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you for your everlasting gospel. I thank you, Lord, for the covenant that you wrote in your blood. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that if your word is nigh us, it's even in our mouth. And I thank you that your word does not return to you void. And I thank you, oh Lord God, that you've called a people out to hear your voice in this hour. Lord, we bow before you this afternoon and we ask you to write your word on our heart. We would hear from you, Lord. We would go from this place built up in the most holy faith. Father, let the people understand all of your truth. As each measure of growth is received, let the measure of truth flow through it, with it, to it, from it. Oh, Father God, we make ourselves available to you this afternoon. We ask you, Lord, command us, Lord. Command ye us, Lord. Let the ear be dug for hearing and the eye be open to see and the mouth to speak. And Father, we would be quick to bow down and obey and follow you. And now I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Well, I wanted to talk to you about having the rod in your mouth this afternoon. Remember the story of Moses in the Word in Exodus, the second chapter. We're not going to turn there. It's a whole teaching within itself, but I want to touch on it. And then, because I want to move on further into the 12th chapter of Romans. Praise the Lord. You remember when Moses was born, they were murdering all the babies in Israel, all the male children. And his mother, because he was so beautiful in her firstborn, she put him in a little basket and floated him down the river Nile. And there was Pharaoh's daughter who found him. And remember how Miriam, his sister, came. I guess he wasn't the firstborn, but he was the male that was born at that time because Miriam was older. Excuse me. And so Miriam told Pharaoh's daughter that Moses, she knew somebody that could nurse the baby. And, oh, hallelujah, good. Mama got to nurse this baby. We look at all of that in the natural, but then when we begin to look in the spirit and understand our emotions and our feelings and the things that affect us, and we look back at what went on, we see that this baby was birthed at a time when great fear was over the land. So that spirit of fear would enter that child. Also, every day that his mother nursed him, you know, I'm mama and I nursed my son. And I knew that when that baby was laying in my arms, I was giving him something that no one else could give him. There was a communion and a feelings between us. And I know that Mama Hart must have been grieving sorely because she knew as soon as Moses was weaned, she'd have to give him into Pharaoh's house. So every day when that mama looked at that beautiful baby, I'm sure her Mama Hart was full of grief, sadness, fear of him being taken away. You know, you can look, insecurity, there's my beautiful son being taken away. Now Moses grew up and the time came and he was trained in Pharaoh's court. Now with the environment of the love for his mother and all the hurt that was going on in her because she would have to give him away, but now he's in Pharaoh's court and he's growing up. With all of the money and or material blessings that the king's court would have. So you see, the mind that was bruised of the little baby of rejection and insecurity was now being boiled over with anything he wanted. The best tutoring, learning, all the things that the king's court could provide, this young man was exposed to. So what had happened in those early days on the River Nile and the days that his mother nursed him, soon all of those thoughts were laid down. And now, how big is my bow and arrow, you know, and how many gardens do I get to play in, and whatever they did in that day to raise the children in the king's court. And the mixture began. And one day now Moses is a young man, full of the strength and the drives of a young man. And he was standing and he was watching the Hebrews build the city of Pharaoh. And in the all of a sudden, you know, he saw two Hebrews or an Egyptian fighting and with the Hebrews. And in his emotions, something of that Hebrew nature that was there that had been covered up in Pharaoh's court began to rise up, and he wanted to justify what was happening to the Hebrew men that were being beaten by Pharaoh. And so he ran in and he slayed the Egyptian and he buried him in the sand, covered up his sin that made me know that he was full of fear. Because ordinarily the life of the Hebrew would have been cheap. And a man that lived in Pharaoh's court could have got away with most anything he wanted to. But there was something in the conscious and the subconscious of this young man, something in the roots of his nature that called forth righteousness. And because it was nurtured in fear, it was covered up in fear. And he ran for his life. Well, when he ran for his life, he came then to the wilderness. And the first day out in the wilderness, all alone now, when he came to settle the matter between the two Hebrews, and they said to him, "Are you going to kill us today like you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" And the fear of being found out brought forth the runaway. And now, where fear abounded, this guy had to run for his life. And so he took off into the wilderness. And out there that first day, there was a well. Now, I want us to see ourselves. When God begins to deal with us in the circumstances and the environment that we have all grown up in, there have been mile markers in our life. Things that have happened, sometimes that we totally rejoiced in, but other times we were totally fearful and cried and wept through. All of them like mile markers, making like stripes or like bruises on the mind, until in his runaway, God provided a well in the desert of Midian. That first day, God didn't let the sun go down on him. The first day, the provision of God was there. Now, all of us have come from different environments. Things have bothered us. Some of us have been, it seems like, to hell and back in situations in our life. Always looking like the wanderer, trying to find a place where we fit in. Not knowing that curses from generations past had so bruised us and we were bound by them that demonic forces could come in and control and take from us the privilege of life and liberty and freedom to worship God and to seek our place in Him and to find Him. Now the scene changes. And here is Moses now, after having taken unto himself a wife from Jethro, the priest of Midian, and her name was Zipporah, and tending the flocks of Jethro out on, walking next to Mount Sinai, he saw the bush that wouldn't stop burning. And he heard the voice of the Lord, and the Lord said, take the shoes off your feet. And there was the first barefooted minister recorded, a deliverer in the Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And he said, for the ground that you stand on is holy. Beloved, the deliverers are walking in holy ground. It's not just a lot of emotion up here, but it's the glory of God setting creation free. It's the Word believed and trusted and relied upon, and God moving in our behalf. So as Moses stood there and the Lord began to speak, and God said, I'm going to send you back to Egypt, and I'm going to send you before Pharaoh, and you're going to tell him to let my people go. And Moses said, who shall I tell him sent me? And you see, in the natural, subconsciously, he's remembering that Egyptian he buried in the sand. That was his remembrance of Egypt. When he remembered Egypt, he knew that there was judgment waiting for him there. And so he listened to the Lord. And the Lord said, you tell him I am sent you. I am what I am and who I am. And then Moses said, what if they won't believe me? You see, if Moses had understood that he was talking to the Lord God Almighty of all the earth, you know, he wouldn't even bother to kiss Zipporah goodbye. I mean, he would have been gone. But he, because of what was ministering to him, because of where he was, see, in understanding and belief, he didn't know who I am. He didn't know God. He didn't understand that I am was where there were, you know, in the supernatural realm where everything went because God had spoken it. He didn't have that understanding. And God in his mercy said, Moses, what's that in your hand? And Moses said, it's a rod. And God said, throw it down. See, God comes to you where you are, where you can understand it, and there. He makes you act upon His words. That's what we've been doing. When you first came here a week ago, and we all got together and nobody knew each other hardly, and we were looking at wonder what's wrong with him, you know, and should I sit that close, you know, and they don't do that in my church, you know, all the things that made us kind of scrooge up and wonder what have we gotten ourselves into. And then suddenly, and easily, as we were taught, and we started hearing the Word, and the ministers got up, and they showed you Jesus, and they showed you His love, and they taught His Word, and something began to rise in the midst of you, that, oh, hallelujah, and you weren't afraid to look at the mixture that was there, and first thing you know, you wanted to see the mixture that was there. And you didn't want to sit there and not let anybody know what you had. You were ready if it took the scream or the yell or whatever. Get it out of me. I don't want anything in me that's not of God. And all the pride and all of the things that hold you of weakness. You know, nobody's going to hurt me. I'm all sealed up in my emotions. All that went out the door. Hallelujah. And we got to be a family. and we started praying for one another. We started pulling down the strongholds, and God has delivered a people. Hallelujah. He's not done with us yet. Hallelujah. But we plowed some new ground, haven't we? Hallelujah. We've seen the Lord move mightily in the midst of us. Glory to Jesus now. So just like Moses, this man that wrote the first five books of the Bible, who was so afraid and didn't understand the I Am of God and was so bound up and a runaway and full of fear, and God would choose a man with that kind of a personality to deliver all the people of Israel? You see, God knows when He sets out to mold and shape a man, everything that that person needs to overcome and to be like the image and the pattern of Jesus Christ the Son. He knows all the horse thieves in your generation. All the guys that were full of lust and uncleanness and the thievery and every curse that's visited to you in your name, the name that you now have. And He also knows that the blood of His Son is able to deliver you. Hallelujah, see. Now, and the more we understand the authority of the blood of Jesus, the more we will walk in the liberty and the freedom of deliverance. Now, so Moses looked at that rod that God told him to throw on the ground, and it became a serpent. It says he jumped back in fear. If you know, God expects us to act right where we are. Is where we make the beginning. Right where the first fiery dart hits you, that's where you attack. See? Right where you are is where you begin. And God in His mercy to make Moses understand said, what's that in your hand? See? He knew that Moses was all bound up in sense and feeling. He knew that that was the only way that he knew to go. And so God right down there where he was. And when that rod became a serpent and Moses jumped back in fear, God said, pick it up. See, that's what we've been doing today, this week. We've been picking up the authority of the rod. Hallelujah. And we've been seeing God's power at work in us. Hallelujah. We've come through the mile markers. We've examined the terrain we've walked in, and we've commanded, this is our land. We are the body of Christ. We're going to be like Him. We command our being to the attention of the Word. Hallelujah. So Moses picked it up. It became a rod in his hand. It was something he could lean on. It was a comfort in Pharaoh's presence because he knew that God was with him. There was an authority in the comfort of that rod that made him feel like a man, because God broke down in that sense realm where Moses' feelings were, and He gave him that crutch that he needed so that he could stand and be the deliverer of Israel. Now, you and I have such an authority. And the rod has been transferred from the hand to the mouth. Hallelujah. Look in Numbers, please, in the 17th chapter. 17, please. And now here were the children of Israel out in the wilderness. The rod has worked gloriously to this point. But there's complaining and murmuring and carrying on. God said, I've had enough of it. He said, Moses, tell every man, the leaders of the fathers' houses, to bring their rods, 12 rods. And he said, you'll write every man's name on his rod. That was the custom. When a man's name was on his rod, that was the symbol of his authority. When that rod was in his hand, he settled the matters of his household. And because of the character and the nature of his name, the authority of his name, he judged accordingly to that authority. And the people of his house knew. That's the last word on the matter. See? Now. And he said, and you'll write Aaron's name on his rod, the rod of Levi, his great-grandfather. For there shall be one rod for the head of each father's house. And you shall lay them up in the tent of meeting before the ark of the testimony, where I'll meet you. And the rod of the man whom I choose shall bud. And I'll make to cease from me the murmurings of the Israelites, which they murmur against you. Now, you say to yourself, you know, how are you going to do that, Lord? How is that one rod going to make any difference, or even those 12 rods going to make any difference to the murmuring and the complaining of this house? But you see, God was speaking from where he was, an I am word that needed an I am understanding. And he was saying that I am putting an authority and a privilege in that rod, a progressive work of the nature within it. And the next day, when every man took up his rod, it was easy to find. It had his name on it. Levi went to get his rod, and there were 4 steps of maturity accompanying it. It had sprouted. Beloved, the Word of God is sprouted in the midst of you. The authority of truth. See, some of us just a sprout. Well, I remember the first time I gave a message in tongues in the church. I thought, boy, Lord, you've got a servant here. You know. Just proud because God used me. Trembling. Humbling experience to be blessed because God had chosen this mouth to speak to his people. Never forget it. Oh, it was wonderful. Heard my mouth. And it was so funny. I'd gotten to Bible school late. And every Monday night we had this big meeting. And all the preachers from miles around came, and all the glory cloud had come in. And you didn't want to miss a thing. And this night I had chores, and I didn't get them done. I don't know what I had to do that took my time up, but I didn't get all the dishes washed or whatever. And it was my turn for KP. And so I was late getting there, and I was so upset because I always sat on the second row. You know, I didn't want to miss anything. But that night everybody filled up all the seats, and I had to sit way in the back. And I hardly heard anything they said because I was sitting there with the grumbling, murmuring. I just hated it because I was way back here. And if they'd have just got their dishes in there, I could have got done. And we'd have, everybody had been here on time. And, just pouring off at the mouth. And so they began to praise the Lord and worship the Lord. And I was still can't even see up to the front, Just fussing inside of me. And then I realized, I'm not seeking the Lord. And so I began to praise the Lord. And then the first thing you know, it wouldn't matter where you were standing, you were in the presence of the Lord. And you didn't have to open up your eyes to count noses or to see how many rows you were from the back. The Lord was there. And my mouth began to speak. And God gave a message through me. Why? Wasn't anybody on my floor in that dormitory that had more than I did that night. I was so excited that the Lord had used me. Sprouts. And all of them need it. You need to see what's coming forth. And then it said, and it brought forth buds. Oh, hallelujah. Progress. Growing up. Maturing. Beginning to prophesy. Interpretation. And it produced blossoms. Beloved, it's time to bloom where you are. Let the word that you have inside show forth until the peoples can see Jesus Christ in your being. Hallelujah. And then it yielded ripe almonds now. Can't you just see old Aaron trying to find out where to pick that rod up? With all that good stuff on it and all the wonderment within his being, what in the world has happened here? I believe I'm a miracle. Because there wasn't any way that old rod could have done anything but be a rod without the supernatural power of God to move through it. I bet Aaron stood there and thought, oh, I remember the day I cut it off that tree out in the wilderness. And look, I walked for an hour or so looking for a branch that had just enough curve so that I could grip it in my hand. And look at it now. There's life in that rod. And that's mine. Hallelujah. And Moses brought out all the rods before the Lord to all the Israelites, and they looked, and each man took his rod. And the Lord told Moses, put Aaron's rod back before the testimony in the ark to be kept as a warning or a sign for the rebels. And you shall make an end of their murmurings against me, lest they die. Oh, now we're beginning to see what the Lord is saying. See, now when that rod, the symbol of that man's authority, began to sprout and grow and blossom and bud and produce a ripe phenomenon, the progressive work of a nature within it. Hallelujah. You and I, the called out of God, we have come. We have sought Him. We know that we belong to Him. We've been called into His presence. And we are realizing that the authority of the name of Jesus in our mouth is producing a progressive work of His nature within us. Hallelujah. The things that bound us in the death realm are no more, because there's a sprout being seen. There's a blossom being seen. Hallelujah. The rod, the authority of the Word, it's in your mouth. Hallelujah. And God is delivering a people. Hallelujah. Now, let's look a little more about this rod in Jeremiah chapter 1 and probably about the 11th verse. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And he said, I see a branch, or a shoot, or an almond tree, which is the emblem of alertness. Now see, write that down. An activity blossoming late in winter. Oh, look at this again now. He said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Now, look at the condition of the natural realm. Blossom, that's the nature of the almond tree to blossom in late winter. The coldness, when you got to take care for the comfort and the safety of where you are. See, the Lord is saying now, shadows and tights, put your spiritual glasses on. The condition of the nature within. The control, the seed of your salvation, the divine protection, the growth of maturity within the midst of your vessel is anywhere in the darkest hour, in the deepest pit, in the worst condition of winter, in the coldest time. There is a place in God prepared for you, like the nature within, the seed of your salvation, a deliverance place, a hiding place, a protection place where the Word of God, full of life within you, allows you to stand the test of time, the storm of the winter, whatever the crisis may be, and be unmoved, because there's a nature within you, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God, an understanding that you're not your own, but you've been bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. The authority of the rod has equipped you, hallelujah, a progressive work as you could tolerate, as you could grow up a maturing place, hallelujah, that you might know that you are the Lord your God's handiwork, and in Him, hallelujah, you have been set free. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, I see a branch or a shoot and a ripe almond tree, the emblem of alertness. See, shadow and type now. Beloved, when you are dwelling in the Holy Ghost, living in the Spirit, there is an alertness and awareness of the supernatural, the spirit realm, the knowledge of God that protects you from every invader. Hallelujah. Now, he said, then the Lord said to me, you've seen well. He said, for I am alert and I am active. and I'm watching over my word to perform it. Hallelujah. And that's what the Lord's been doing here this week. He's been watching over His word to perform it in you and I. And when you walked in the authority of the word, we're delivered. When you command in the authority, see, that's the plumb line. That's what you measure by. It's the image, the exactness, the likeness of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. And when you command your being to His attention, and you realize God's watching over His Word to perform it, He's bringing it forth to you and to me, so that as we understand and as we are delivered, we will contain and we will keep our deliverance. We'll not be like ships tossed to and fro in the sea of life, but we'll walk in the authority of the blood of Jesus, and we'll be untouched by the death realm and all that's comprised in it, because we know, see, the word is life. You understand, you are living, hallelujah. And you're commanding life into everything that concerns you. Now, Isaiah, the 11th chapter. This has been quoted several times this week. Praise the Lord. Thank you, my Father, for your precious word. I just love you, Jesus. I just love you so much. I just praise you, Lord, for your everlasting gospel. I praise you, Lord, that all the power and all authority that was given unto you has been given unto us. And I thank you, Lord, that the body's finding it out. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, that we're beginning to walk in it. And I thank you, Lord God, that every mystery and every secret's being revealed. And I thank you, Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. And I thank you, Lord God, that you've set the pace for your day. You've set the pace, Lord. You've made the dawning of it bright. You've given all the light into it, Lord, that is needed to bring forth a body, hallelujah, that'll stand the test of time. And not break their rank and not be weakened because there's something in them that needs further winnowing. I thank you, Lord, for a winnowing word that is purging out the death realm from the people. Hallelujah. Now, Isaiah said, and there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots shall grow and bear fruit. Now, I talked to you the other day about the basket of ripened fruit. Beloved, the basket of ripened fruit is seen. And we've been inspecting the fruit all week. And we've seen mellow, hallelujah, ripen, readiness-y. And when it's ready to be consumed, hallelujah, it does. It's the perfection, the perfectness of the fullness. Everything that is in that fruit when it is mellow has produced the greatness of the fruit. See? The wonder of it, the blessing of it. There's no more sugar to be there. There's no more nothing else in the containment of the product of that fruit. When it is mellow, it's ready. The cup of righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. The spirit of truth. See? It's ready. Hallelujah. Everything that's there, your equipment. And what are we doing with that ripened fruit, that nature within? We are commanding out the death realm, the last enemy, hallelujah, that has to go, so that the life, hallelujah, that's raised up out of the dust shall live forever, hallelujah, a people to rule and to reign with Him. And He said, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Now, I want you to define, well, I think I did this when I was here before, but I'm going to do it because there's a lot of new people here. How do you spell rest? It's W-I-S-D-O-M. Hallelujah. See? Hallelujah. See? That's the way you spell rest. Once you know, what can that old sly fox, the devil, do to you? Once you see where he's been and how he's been haranguing you, and you command him to go. You see, he hides. He doesn't want you to learn this word. He doesn't want you to get together in places like this so that you can be set free and be delivered. Because he knows once you find out what he's been doing to you, you're going to kick him out. And he can't remain. See? So the Spirit of the Lord is going to rest upon him. See, now, we've received the Spirit of the Lord. And it's coming into that resting place in each of us now. Some of us have been like the teeter-totter. We've been up and down and up and down and up and down in our spirit walk. But there is a resting place for the rested mind that's hid in Christ, in God. When you know the truth sets you free. See? Hallelujah. Now, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, and the reverential or the obedient fear of the Lord. See, that's been the problem with the humanistic nature of the carnal mind. It has not feared God. It has not respected that, you know, respected or come in awe or honored God, because the selfish, flesh, carnal-minded man thinks only of himself, what he can lay back in to do himself good, see. But the man who walks in the Spirit and talks in the Spirit and seeks the spiritual things, he's resting because he knows and he fears God. See, what is fear? It's the of God. It's the beginning of wisdom. You see why the enemy wants to remove the respect for God out of the mind of our young people in this generation? Because he knows when you recognize the higher power, the Lord your God, and my language isn't big enough to describe him, who could know him and the glory of his presence and the magnificence of his person? But he's designed us to be so full of life, to be so like him, that there's coming a day, and is now here, when the body of Christ shall see the brightness of his person. We're entering into a Shekinah glory age, hallelujah, where God is pouring out such wisdom and knowledge, the magnificence of his plan, to a people who have dealt with their flesh. Kick that old garbage out. Not looking to die or not even handling the things of death any longer. Not making themselves available to Satan's territory anymore. Big sign on the door. I moved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, the enemy cannot bind your mind because you don't live in that old death realm any longer, where the ministry, the thing that was ministered to you, was the worst possible thing that the enemy could think up for you. Beloved, we're turning, changing, we're containing the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Every time you notice that when we pray for you and those things are released from you, we tell you to raise your hand and surrender and ask the Holy Ghost to take over every area that you just emptied out and fill it with himself. I do this so that seven worse can't come in your clean house and set up housekeeping. When you make yourself available to the Word and you command in the name of Jesus those things that have been bombarding your and taking up your attention in life, and you are delivered, you give yourself to the Lord. And let the Holy Ghost take over his property. And you relax and enjoy your deliverance. Hallelujah now. So the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, or reverential and obedient fear of God. And he shall make him of quick understanding, and his delight shall be in the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes. See, we're not taking these things for face value. Even though we see them in an outward appearance, we still go in the name of Jesus and command the Spirit to be loosed from you. Neither does he decide by the hearing of his ears. We've heard some witches scream this week, and they came out. But beloved, we're not going to We're not going to let just sounds be the only place that we think deliverance is. Deliverance is total. As you seek the Lord, as you command your being to His attention, there's the condition. The Lord begins to write His Word on your heart. When the Word is revealed, you are strengthened. Hallelujah. You can stand. And when you stand and begin to command the enemy who has sought to take over, you command him out. As God reveals you to you, boy, jump on it and get it out of you. Hallelujah. Now, and says, but with righteousness and justice shall he judge the poor, decide with fairness for the meek, the poor, and the downtrodden of the earth. Have you noticed how the enemy has sought to bring the spirit of downtroddenness to the people? Because he knows if he can get your mind down, get you depressed, get you to thinking like, oh, woe is me and poor is me, it's not going to be easy for you to get up in joy and walk out in joyfulness, praising God. The enemy wants to close your mouth. He wants to blind your eyes. He wants to keep your ears from hearing. Anything that he can do to disturb your peace, he's going to try to do every one of those things. Now, here's the good part. He shall smite the earth and the oppressor with the rod of his mouth. Hallelujah. That's the good part. Hallelujah. And with the breath of his lips, he shall slay the wicked. Now, Moses had the rod in the natural. Aaron's rod budded, a progressive work of the nature within. In every generation, the authority of the rod has been exposed. In different ways, in different situations. And in this day, because we have the right as heirs of salvation to be in the image of Jesus Christ, He gave us a birthright that gives us the authority of the rod. Hallelujah. And the rod's in His mouth. Hallelujah. And He's smiting the earth. Hallelujah. This old flesh. Hallelujah. And the oppressor, that old thing that comes in, the demonic spirits that try to oppress you, and he smites them with the rod of his mouth. See, in the name of Jesus, you are the victory. Hallelujah. You command, and the enemy has to obey you. The rod's in your mouth, and in the name of Jesus, we are delivered. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to turn with me to Romans, the 12th chapter. Now, the rod is in your mouth. But if you don't know the authority of the rod, if you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus, if you don't know what God called forth for His people in worship and praise and understanding, He is moving us into the place where we are being completed. You know, we're not majoring in different areas like they used to do in old time Pentecost. I said, I've got a healing ministry. Another guy said, I'm a deliverance minister. Beloved, the whole counsel of God and all the Word and all the gifts of the Holy Ghost ought to be in evidence in the body. And every word that proceeds out of our Father's mouth, it should be understood by us. And the more you make yourself available to Him and command your being to Him, the more you're going to know who you really are in Christ Jesus. It's more than a man that walked the shores of Galilee. We're talking about a revelation of the Creator God in all His eternal purpose and the majesty and the splendor of His completeness when He decided to bring forth a people who would fit in to the majestic glory of His person. You and I have a place in the body now. So God is teaching us the authority of who we are. The rod is in our mouth. When we come before the Lord and we ask Him to show us to us, and He begins to show us to us, there are conditions that must be met for you to keep your deliverance. You can't go home with a silent mouth, your hands in your lap, and not open the Word and get involved in communication with the Lord. You have emptied out to be filled up. You are a priest, hallelujah. You are called, and the order and the rank that you are is Melchizedek, the power of an endless and an indestructible life. Hallelujah. And that's what you and I are. Glory to God. And what we have received in this week and in the weeks to come in deliverance, we must lay hold and understand that God has not done that just to let you float through the rest of your life and not have any problems. He has done that so that you can raise the sword of truth. He's done that so you can stand as His champion in this earth. He's done that so that He can, as He's called you out, you will turn and rend the enemy from the peoples. Hallelujah. In His name. And so the conditions must be met in each of us to do the will of the Father. Paul said it to the Romans like this: I beg you, I appeal to you, brethren, and I beg you in view of all the mercies of God. Let me tell you, deliverance is God's mercy. That's God's mercy to us. That's God's mercy so that His laws can be fulfilled. When He gave you grace, that didn't mean you could quit obeying the law. That meant that you could take the law and with God's favor and grace, walk it out in your life. Because God's laws are your protection. And I pray that you remember what I've just said. When you're obedient to the Word of God, you are protected by it. Hallelujah. And that old sly fox, the devil, can't come in and disturb your peace because you don't know who you are. He said, I beg you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your body. See, beloved, you do it. You do it. Your day, I know, is full. But you better take some time to be holy. Or you get in the prayer closet and you speak to the Lord and you pray and you long for Him. You know, I'm longing for the time when I can come into the presence of God in a meeting such as this and see the glory so fill the place that the peoples be so intent in worship and so closing out the world that the power of God can just let us just raise up into the heavenlies and enter into to that dimension that's been stored up and waiting to come forth. Hallelujah. Greater works than these, He said, we shall do. See, when you keep your mouth closed, you're shutting up your fountain. Now, when your fountain is shut off, your water's going to get stagnant. See, now, when the water gets stagnant, then you're going to start to smell, you know, corruption. Garbage sets in. Now, spiritually I'm speaking, see. When you know the things, you know you're going to be out of sorts, contentious, negative, see. Smelly things, see. That aren't nice, you know. They begin to minister to you. You listen. Your mouth's closed, see. And the enemy just comes in and just jerks you up and mops the floor with you. Try many times, see now. Be cautious about what you give yourself to. You are the temple of the living God. Don't put your temple eyes in front of the television's garbage and the VCR garbage. Your eyes are holy and precious and designed for the containment of the living God. And beloved, that's a fact that you do it, see. You're going to have to take that old bull by the horn and turn him around and flip him out. Hallelujah. Get him out of your life in the name of Jesus. I grew up on a farm part of my life. And when it came time to brand the cows, well, we put them in a, we had to throw them, you know. And, well, all the new calves that came in, it was my, I had a brother that was a year and a half older than me. And that was the big thing for us to who was the strongest. The guy that could throw the oldest cow was the guy that was the strongest. So we start with a little bitty calf, see, and every time you threw one and they could slap the brand to him, see, and turn him loose. And you really thought, well, you know, I really did that. Well, of course, I was a girl, so I already had some, you know, I didn't have the strength that my brother did, but I had the same determination. And I wanted to throw a three-year-old yearling so bad. Hallie, and you know, my daddy dehorned them, so they weren't mean, you know, but you didn't have a lot of place to get a hold, and it was a condition of leverage right at the right time. See, you didn't have to be all that strong, but I didn't understand all of that at that time. And so we got out there, and my dad was going to show us how to do it, and this little old calf had some Brahma in him. And he was mean and never been cut, you know, touched before. And he'd been born out in the pasture, and we'd brought him all up to see about him. So my dad was saying, and you're going to take him like this and throw him over like that. And he did, and the calf just pitched a fit. And I told Daddy, turn him loose. And Daddy said, I can't. And then we all laughed, and Daddy got mad because we laughed because we thought he wasn't strong enough to turn it loose. But it was so big, it was causing him to, he knew if he turned it loose, he was going to get him. So we had to get over there and give him some help. And we never laughed in front of Daddy, but we always laughed about it. I mean, when I see my brother today, we laugh about Daddy's gone on to heaven, but we laugh about it because it was a funny thing. Our daddy was so strong and that it presented such a strength in front of us, we thought that we could throw that yearling. Well, I don't think I ever did get a three-year-old down, but boy, I was found trying. Hallelujah. Now, there's a condition of determination to be met. We learn determination by different experiences. Mine might have been a three-year-old yearling. Yours might have been picking up the back end of a car. I don't know what the men think about when they think they want to show everybody they're strong. I think my brother tried that. When the Lord begins to work with us in the Spirit, He wants you to know that the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And there have been strongholds in our life. And when you begin to understand that our generation, man, has been deceitfully wicked and evil and bound up in all the mire and the corruption of death, and God has brought us out of that death, and He's spoken life unto us, and He's opening our eyes to see that no more there is a corruption that is going to bind us, because in the name of Jesus, the rod, the authority in our mouth is deliverance. Hallelujah. And nothing can remain in you when you command in the knowledge of honesty and the knowing of who you are. It cannot stay there because your authority is in the name of Christ Jesus. The rod is in your mouth. Hallelujah. And you smite the oppressor with the breath of your lips. Yeah. So we present our body to Him in that time of prayer and worship. You see, when God's love is flowing through you, it's not hard to look. And in that time of worship and praise in the presence of God, the Holy Ghost can say, you know, you really ought to take care of that lust situation or that greedy nature. Or he's the gentle dove, the Spirit of truth. And He's not there to harm you, but to help you. And as the more you seek the Lord and the more you pray and the more you make yourself consecrated and dedicated to the Lord your God, the easier and the clearer the voice of the Holy Spirit is heard in your midst. See, the more time, and what is the first thing we do when we get busy? We quit taking prayer time and Bible study. Have you ever noticed that? I want you to know that's a trick of the enemy. You need to be cautious, careful what you go home and give yourself to. As you go, think about what you've been doing, how you spend your day and your time factor. Measure out your time. Pray for an attitude of holiness and in the presence of God. That you walk with the attitude of prayer and supplication all day long. but take time to be holy before Him and to bow down or to lay before Him and to worship Him and get in the Word. And men who have children, and I pray that as the priest you will begin the Bible study. It's up to you to initiate it, not your wife. And begin the Bible study in your home. If you're having discipline problems with your children, that is the one thing that I know that will eliminate it. You put a common ground there, a level ground there, the foundation of Jesus Christ, the Word, and your children can talk there. And you can understand them. And you can pray and see your household come into divine order. Divine order. It's a word that you ought to write down and pray about. Divine order that lets God's blessings flow in your life. When the men are the priests in the home, taking their place, not dictator, not beating your wife, you know, over the head with your Bible, but looking with the eyes of the tender shepherd of love to your mate and finding out where she or he is and what your responsibilities are, and love them and pray for them and lift them up before the Lord. And don't condemn. Pray and command the spirit of condemnation away from you. It has no authority unless you give it there. If you entertain it, if you exercise it, it's going to become a possession. Condemnation does not belong in the home. Hallelujah. Doesn't belong anywhere. Hallelujah now. He said, I beg of you to make a decision, a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is just the most reasonable, rational, intelligent service that you could do in spiritual worship. Now, you come and present your being to the Lord. How do you keep your deliverance? You present your being to the Lord. You take time to be holy. You look and you ask the Holy Spirit to show you the things that you are ready to deal with. And when He does, deal with them. Command it from you in the name of Jesus. Guard your mouth. Don't let bitterness and the gall that wounds other people flow out of it. If you make a mistake and you fall into an angry pit and you voice that anger as quick as you can, repent and ask Jesus to forgive you and begin from there. Go on there. Don't give any room for any roots of bitterness and hatred and strife to come into your being. The devil does in love what, pardon me, the devil does in hatred what God does in love. If he can get you angry, it opens you up to his kingdom. And whatever is there is going to march into your life. It may lay dormant and hide a day or two, but the first thing you know, your peace is disturbed. And if you don't realize what has happened, that's how it got in. Be watchful and mindful to keep yourself in the love of God. Don't let the sin go down on your wrath. Don't pout and don't be stubborn. I remember when Olin and I finally got that message. And he was the... you don't mind me saying this, do you? Olin, yeah, he does. I knew he did. I knew he did. Olin was the powder when we got married. I'd blow off my cork and just carry on, you know, and I'd tell him everything I wanted him to hear. And then I was all right, you know, I'd got it out. But here was him. And I'd have to work and work and work to get him in that good humor again. Well, I tried all the plans that I could think of. And so this one time I thought, I'll just do this. I'll just fall out like I fainted. And he'll feel so bad that I'm laying in the floor that he'll just run to my aid and see, then we can make up. So we lived in a little one-room kitchenette apartment at that time. We'd just got married. And I looked around to see where it would be the best place to hit the deck. And as I fell backwards, I just grabbed my head in my stomach and I went backwards. You know, I really tried to make it look real. And he just looked at me. He took the flowers out of the vase on the table and put them in my hand and walked out the door. I was well when I started. But when I tried to get up, I couldn't hardly move. I nearly killed myself. Now, when you're learning how to live together, and you try all those things to make agreement come into being, don't try that. It's better to pray. See, be on guard. Lift the hands of your mate up before the Lord. Seek the Lord in their behalf. Cry out to God that for every need that they have to be supplied, so that there's no chance for this kind of situation that's going to breed stubbornness and anger and resentment. See, we got that junk out. We don't want any more roots to grow up within us in the name of Jesus. See, now, we don't do that anymore. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I can remember, and I'll never forget it, because Olin never was one to say sorry. And when he said he was sorry the first time we had an argument, I tell you, I cried like a baby because I didn't realize how bad I needed to hear that he was sorry. And of course, right away, as quick as he said it, I said, I'm sorry too. Boy, we learn a lesson. It just made fighting, you know, it just didn't have any glory in it anymore. The Lord knows what you need. Even he said, before you call, he answers. Now, don't let all of this overwhelm you. Don't think that when you get back there in the world that you're not going to be able to walk it out and talk the talk and walk the walk. See, take it a day at a time, right where you are, with the rod in your mouth, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Everything that you think you need to deal with, deal with it. Some things that you think you don't, you better examine it good, because that's the way the devil tells you, and he hides there. See, sometimes the very thing you think you don't need is what you need the most. The condition of deliverance and continued deliverance is total honesty. No making excuses, see. No he did, she did, or this is why. Total honesty before the Lord. Whatever, Lord Jesus, you need to show me in this matter, I repent. Teach me. Show me. Stay in the Word. Present your body a living sacrifice. Not a corpse. Not a dead man, see. You presenting your body to the Lord that's full of life. A living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to the world, it says here. To this age, fashioned and adapted by its external and superficial customs. When I was a teenager, everybody wanted to look alike and dress alike, and they probably do some of that today. All the guys want the same kind of haircut, and all the girls want the same kind of hemline or the same brand of jeans or something that makes you identify with that person around you. But beloved, the identity so often to us as young people is not a good identity. Well, you don't take your identity from the rock and roll stars who are into eating live chickens and damning to death, suicide and commanding all kinds of uncleanness and fornication and filth. You don't take your identity or wear the clothes or be the pace setter according to the image that's presented in the peer pressures from the drug abuse scene of rock and roll music and the stars. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, not stars, but they're followed after. I'm looking for a young people, saith the Lord, who will take the identity of holiness and set the pace of purity and righteousness. I'm looking for young people who will have such a good, balanced self-identity that they won't want to look like anybody else but what I created them, saith the Lord. I'm looking for a people, hallelujah, who will know that my word in the earth has been sent to do them good and who will walk out in rest. See, let us put on the garments of our salvation. Let us take authority with the rod of truth in our mouth and command our being to the attention of the Holy Spirit. And let's look at what we've been wanting to be like and know that God made you in a unique, beautiful individual. And He gave you a beauty and He nurtured it in a quality that commands life. And to try to look like somebody else is folly. It's weakness. And it will determine a weakness in your being, your personality forming. Because God made you to be special. The apple of His eye, the Word says, to be like Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, so we're not conformed to this world, fashioned, adapted to its external customs, superficial customs, but be transformed. That's changed by the entire, boy, that's a good word, entire renewal of your mind by its new ideas, its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Let us bow our heads. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like three realms, good, acceptable, and perfect, 30, 60, 100-fold. Father God, let us move in that anointing. Oh, anoint us, Lord, to walk out the glory of your presence in this earth. Father God, we are delivered people. We are deliverers. And we stand like barefoot sons before You, Lord, to hear Your word. And we look, oh, Father God, into everything that concerns us. And we ask You now, sweet Jesus, write Your word on our heart. Every mind, Lord, that has heard the word, I ask You, Lord, to put it in their remembrance. And I ask the Holy Ghost to just tender it, to be examined and to be called up and just thought over, Lord. Oh, the winnowed word, the precious word, the peaceful word of truth. Father God, I ask You, Lord, that every mind that has received the word this week will have a remembrance and be restored to that place that You had in mind, Lord, before the foundation of the world, where the body would come together and be one in You. Make us one, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. It is 5:55. Are we ready to eat? It is ready, they said. Okay. You know, I've had this feeling ever since I've been here this week of a time when all of us were in prayer. You know, the other night when Miss Linda had us sing and we burst into that place where all that You wanted to do was be on Your knees before the Lord. It's not ready yet. I'd like for us to have just such a season now. And I'd like for, please, to be no talking and no visiting. We've had deliverance. And God has ministered to us, and there's more deliverance that's needed also. But I'd like for this time, let's just find our place somewhere. If you want to come to the altar, wherever, Please, no visiting and talking. Let's get on our knees, a quiet time. That's right. Okay, when the singing starts, you'll know we're ready to eat now. I know this may not be easy for some of the young people who have not maybe cultivated this kind of a habit. So we just let's just begin right where we are. And let's just begin to pray now. Let's get on our knees before the Lord. And if there's some reason you can't get on your knees, you know the Lord understands that. But let's have this time of prayer before the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now this is quality tabernacle time where you talk to the Lord about you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, my Jesus. I love you, my Redeemer. I love you, my ever-living one. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. I praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. I bless your name, Lord. I bless your name, Jesus. Hila kara Messiah. Hila moshondara mosila kaya. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord Jesus, for these precious men, Lord. Oh, Father God, Shecha Messiah. Oh, Kara Messiah, La Messiah. Begin to pour out before you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless your name, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I pray for you, Keith. Hallelujah. The struggle and the war. Father, let it be laid to rest, Lord, that this man walk out in you, Lord Jesus. Renewed in his mind, Lord. Delivered, Lord Jesus, from every snare and pitfall of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Bless you. I love you, sweetheart. God bless you. God bless you, Keith. I give that love to you. Hallelujah. You be encouraged. God's not done with you yet.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.